Andrew Drambrill, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Levon.
Now, I understand the International Maritime Organization adopted some very significant regulations regarding sulfur emissions.
Yes, we're calling it a historic decision. And from a Canadian perspective, the Canadian delegation was on the right side of history today. They were in favor of maintaining the regulation of a global emissions sulfur cap of 0.5% for 2020. So now ships will have to use fuel which can meet that emission standard. And it's very significant for atmospheric air quality around the globe.
I also understand that this sulfur emission standards will also impact the use of heavy fuel oils.
Yes. What this does is tips the supply and price scales away from non-HFO fuels. Now operators and owners and shipping companies will have to use low sulfur fuels. And HFO is a known high sulfur fuel. So fuels like diesel and LNG become more attractive in that respect. And so in the Arctic context, many operators use HFO because of the low cost and its relative availability around the world. But now with this decision, non-HFO fuels like diesel and LNG will become more attractive. And I think we'll see globally a gradual switch to switch away from HFO fuels, which is a great result for the Arctic.
In your estimation, what's the timeline for that?
Well, this global regulation comes into effect in 2020. So in 2020, ships will have to not emit more than 0.5% sulfur. And in the Arctic respect, I think this pushes up the timeline significantly. We were asking for 2020, which I think is ambitious. But I think right now with this new ruling, we could see a decision by that date.
Now, you had also traveled to London with a delegation of Arctic indigenous leaders. Tell me about the reception they got.
They were very well received. It was a warm reception, specifically or importantly from the Secretary General of the International Maritime Organization. They had a one-on-one personal meeting with Mr. Lim on Tuesday of this week. And Mr. Lim's staff was very supportive and wanted to discuss ways for their voice to be permanently heard at the IMO. And Indigenous delegates were very pleased with that interaction.
So how far are we from some kind of a permanent observer representation at the IMO by indigenous groups globally and Arctic indigenous groups in particular?
I think there's a long way to go yet. The UN Declaration on Indigenous Rights is something that has to be taken on board, so to speak, by the IMO. And right now, these leaders are challenging the Secretariat and member states to do just that by giving them, granting them a seat at the table when the global regulator puts new rules in place for the Arctic, when it builds on the Polar Code, when it looks at phasing out heavy fuel oils. So I think there'll be many more negotiations and conversations in the months and years to come. But this was a positive first step.
So what's next? What's going to happen next, both on the heavy fuel oils file and the sulfur emissions file?
So for sulfur emissions, so the regulation is now in place for 2020. There will be challenges to meet the global demand for these low sulfur fuels. Right now, ships are used to running on HFO, and the supply chains are in place to make that happen. And so it will take some time to turn that ship around so to speak, and change the supply chains to lower sulfur fuels. The IMO is going to look at guidelines and an implementation schedule to make that happen, to assist operators and owners to do that. And on indigenous engagement, I know that Hans Lenny from Inuvik in Canada and Tagak Curley from Rankin Inlet in Nunavut have agreed to go back to their communities to talk about next steps. And it's really up to those indigenous representatives to speak to the communities and bring that back to the IMO with their desires on next steps. And we're here to support that effort.